Praise the Lord. Let's try that again. Praise the Lord. Amen. And after that wonderful worship, we ought to praise Him. Thank God for your worship leader and the songs he selected. Amazing songs. Thank you, Pastor Mark and the elders of the church, for giving us the opportunity to come and share what God is doing in India. Since I was here last, Brother James was telling me that the church had been praying for us. I want to say thank you very much, because in the last 16 months, they have tried at least 14 times to arrest me. And their goal and the agenda is to somehow arrest me or kill me, because they really want to stop this work. And I remember the time that they started this, we had less than 300 churches. Then they start persecuting us. They put an allegation. I think it'll save a lot of time if you just go home and do a Google search on Samuel Thomas. All the false accusation is over media all over the world. And many Hindus think that I'm the most hated person towards them, because I hate Hinduism. I preach against them. Well, I don't hate them, but I will say one thing. There's no other way under heaven, above the earth, whereby men can be saved, is the name of Christ. So when we proclaim Christ, they would make sure that they shut this work. To make the long story short, they keep increasing the persecution. 21 men have died in the ministry of Hope Givers. When I say died, not of heart attack, but they have been stoned, stabbed, and beaten to death. And I do believe it is the blood of the martyrs that are the seeds for new churches. The more they persecute us, the more the church is growing. I'll never forget when my father went to be with the Lord, we had just crossed 22,000 churches established in the nation of India. After that, the Prime Minister of India, the political leaders, they have made sure that this ministry is shut down, and they did. They shut down the office last entire year, 2018. They found many reasons to see how, they were trying to find many reasons to see how they can shut it down. One of the ways that they tried to put on the media last 2018 is that Samuel Thomas and the Ministry of Hope Givers is raising children in the orphanage for human trafficking. That's a button that gets the interest of any enemy of the gospel. And they will write in such a way, you know, I like what Trump says, fake news. I can relate to that. They have put fake news all over the country. Every major newspaper had this, that please shut down this work. They're raising children to sell their organs to the United States. That's why Sam goes to the States so often, because he wants to sell the organs of the children. Well, I can cut anything, let alone cut a human body. And if I ever cut a human body, that person will not be walking again, believe me. So that's the accusation, to somehow turn us against the government. Thank you for praying for the government of India. With all the prayers, we still got the Prime Minister elected, who is completely anti-Christian. And everybody in his cabinet have been known for killing pastors and Muslims, and they do have blood in their hands, but they are the one in power today. They will be in power for the next 5 years. So you wonder, how does God really get glorified when He selects leaders who are against the gospel? I'm here to say this to you this morning. God is sovereign. He never makes mistake. And one of these days, I think during this rule of the Prime Minister's second term, they have made it very clear that we want to somehow kill Samuel Thomas. And I'm not making that up. And I'm being very honest with you. The blood of the martyrs are the seeds for new churches. God doesn't need sissies. He doesn't need wimps. He didn't say, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth loafers. He's looking for laborers who would say with Paul, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Did I like the news that the BJP won? No, not really. Because I'm a human being. No. I do have the same feelings like you have. I wish this government was not in power. But I serve a God who makes sense when it does not make sense to me. All things work together for good to them that love God. By year 2021, they have said there will not be any Muslim or Christians left in India. I don't know why 2021. Why don't they just do it in this year? But thank God for at least we have a couple years. So by that time, they said if there's any Christians left in India, they will put them in gas chamber and just kill them. Will that happen? I don't know. But what if it does? God is still God. We have 6,000 orphans today in the care of Hope Givers. Last year they put an allegation that Samuel Thomas is having illegal children in the orphanage. To prove that, they burned all the documents that we had of every child in the Ministry of Hope Givers. They came to the office February 2018, took every record of the lands we own, the license we have to run the ministries, the children's document, everything was burned. We're still here. God is good. So just be in prayer that the Lord would have His way. I know I love when things really go beyond our capacity. If I could explain to you about God, then He is not God. There's something about our God that I cannot explain, but all I can tell you, He's an awesome God. How does He work things like this for His glory? He does. 6,000 children in the Ministry of Hope Givers, 97% of our children end up in full-time ministry. There are many homes in India, orphanages have been shut down. Before the Prime Minister was elected, in the last 5 years, he shut down 20,000 Christian ministries in India who were receiving funds to raise children to be missionaries. This year, this term, they have made sure that there will not be any ministry that would be allowed to bring money in to raise children to be missionaries for God. Thank you for asking, why do they hate the children so much? India has 33 million children living on the streets of India. Isn't the government concerned that we should do something about these children? No. They think that these children have done something in the last birth, the karma, the bad karma, that is why they have become the orphans in this birth. And they thus belong to the low caste. And if you do anything to encourage them, you are improving their caste system. And thus, they do not want that. That's why Indian government hates any organization that takes care of children, and especially raises them to be God-fearing children. Somebody asked me in Houston several years ago, looks like you brainwashed this kid, Sam, if 97% of your children end up in full-time ministry. No, we don't brainwash them. We just don't teach them anything else. We just teach them God's word. By the way, isn't that funny how we think brainwash is a bad word? It's not. Brainwash is a good word if you study the word of God. Romans chapter 12, renew your mind with the word of God. That is brainwash. You got to wash the old brain and renew it with the Word of God. That's what we do at Hope Givers. We just raise these children with the fear of God, love of God, and tell them how important they are. And today, over 70,000 orphans have gone out of this ministry and are now serving the Lord full-time ministry. To God be the glory for great things He hath done. Before we study from God's Word, I'd like to encourage you to pray with us, especially for the ministry among the dowry castaway. Dowry castaway is where the Indian women have to give bribe, that is the dowry, to her husband. That is the only way you would get married in India. That marriage is still in practice. I'm sorry to say some Christians practice that too. I love my answer my father gave when they were trying to bring a proposal to me for me when I was in college, that we would like to pay your son 10 lakh rupees, which is, what, $25,000. That was a lot of money then. And my father's response was, my son is not for sale. And of course, I didn't get any dowry. I ended up marrying an American woman. So no dowry then. But she's from Maine. That makes me the Maine Indian. You know, Brother Silas and Paulus can say that because I'm the only Maine Indian who is married to a maniac. Right? Some of you are getting it. So, majority of the time in India, when the dowry is not given in time, the husbands end up killing their wives. And according to the Indian culture, it's called the kitchen accident. Isn't that funny how every one of them die in kitchen? There's something funny about that. But it's not funny. They literally do burn their wife. Majority of them die. 85% of them end up dying. 15% of them survive. The Minister of Hope Givers has a ministry among those burned women. For the last 11 years, the Minister of Hope Givers has taken care of 935 women. Out of that, 510 have accepted Christ. 780 have died. One of my board members said, that doesn't look like a good investment. Well, we called this ministry Burn Once, Never Again. They've been burned once by their husband, but by us sharing Christ with them, they have eternity. Well, they never have to be burned again. What have they left us behind? They've left us 173 children. Now, those men who do kill their wives and burn them, they go out and they get remarried. So this lady who is burned and her husband and the children, even her own parents don't want them. To save the face in the community, they will not show any relation to them. That's where Hope Givers comes in handy. We take care of them. And by the way, I love God. The God that I serve, He uses broken vessels. He uses people who nobody else loves to use. Nobody will ever think that they will amount to anything. My God specializes in that. He takes care of those widows and children and bring them to the saving knowledge of Christ. Pray with us that every one of those children from the burned women would one day come to know Christ and serve Him with all their life. It takes only $35 a month to support a child in the Ministry of Hope Givers. Only $35 a month. Now, if you give $35 a month, we're not going to put your name on a brick. You know. But your name will be written when you get to heaven. Thank you for investing into a life of a child who became a missionary through the Minister of Hope Givers in India, in Nepal, in Burma, and in Haiti. Continue to pray with us that we may not lose focus in raising these children in the fear and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again for praying for us. And if you have any questions, please call me at 1-800-SEND-CASH. Well, some of you need to wake up. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Book of Exodus, chapter 33. And by the way, I love the United States of America. You know, in America, you have women's Bible, men's Bible, one-year Bible, Schofield Bible, Thompson Chain Reference Bible, Ryrie Study Bible. The only Bible that I like this morning is an open Bible. I really don't care what kind of study Bible you have. If you don't open it, it's not going to do any good. So if you open it, we will see how God speaks to us. This morning, I like to talk to you about a subject, especially this came into my mind after the election of India. Why did God do this? Well, God has a purpose. Did you know that it is possible to know Hebrew and not Him? Did you know it is possible to know Greek and not God? Let me repeat again. It is possible to know Hebrew, not Him. And it is possible to know Greek and not God. This morning, preface to Exodus chapter 33 is a text that I like for you to just Note it down if you're writing it. It's Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, and to be made conformed to the image of his Son. Now that's a strange verse, especially when Paul is put in prison for preaching the gospel of Christ, and he is inside the prison writing this prison epistle, and he's saying, that I may know him. Don't you think he knew Christ? He had to know him. Now, do I know Donald Trump? No. I know about him. Do I know God? Some of us know about him, but do not know him. I understand I'm speaking to the people who claim to be believers in Christ. Why would Paul, who followed Christ, who preached Christ, was put in the prison for the sake of Christ, is writing that I may know him? Well, I believe the reason he wrote Philippians 3:10 is because he wanted to know God better today than yesterday. He knew him, but he wanted to know him in a better way. This morning, I like to ask the believers listening to me, do you know him? Exodus chapter 33, if you have the right Bible, is page 85. Exodus chapter 33, verses 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again to the camp, and his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Let me just skip to verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, this is Moses, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy ways that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Verse 14, and he said, that is God, my presence shall go with thee, and I'll give thee rest. Many even born-again Christians do not know God in a personal way. Verse 13, Moses is praying, God, show me thy way that I may know thee. Please pay attention to that word. Help me to know thy way. Now, an average Christian, this is what he prays. Lord, thank you for the provision, that is when they pray for the food. Thank you for the protection. In Jesus' name, amen. That is an average Christian. Believers listening to me this morning, it is possible for you to have the blessings of God. It is possible for you to have the protection of God. It is possible for you to have the providence of God. It is possible to have everything you ever needed from God and still not have his presence. Most Christians would not even know what it means to know God. But I pray this morning, before we leave this place, may we say with Moses and with Paul, that I may know him. Lord, I want to know thy ways. Show me thy way, Lord. You know, there are two ways to know God. You can know him casually, and you can know him intimately. To know about God or to know God is the choice that you have to make. To know about God is to know his works. To know about God intimately is to know his ways. Most people know about God at the first level, what God does. But they do not know his ways, who God really is. Thank you for asking me this morning, did God ever answer the prayer of Moses? When he said in verse 13, show me thy ways. Thank you for asking that question. Turn with me to Psalms 103 and verse 7. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the people of Israel. Did you see that? He made known his ways
to Moses and his acts to the people of Israel. Is there a difference in knowing the acts of God and the ways of God? Yes, there is. Moses said, Lord, show me thy ways, not thy works. Because average Christian, all they know is the works of God. Does God have favorites? No. But he does have intimates. James, Peter, and John, believe me, especially Peter, I don't think he was a favorite disciple of Christ. I think he was from India. Peter answered a question that was never asked. Do you know people like that? I know, obviously, with a few things he did that was not sensible, but he still was intimate disciple of Christ. When you know God's ways, it'll bring peace to your troubled soul. When you know the ways of God, it'll bring stability in your life. If you know the ways of God, it will bring victory to your lifestyle. Intimacy or infatuation? Many men fall in love with the dimple and end up marrying the whole girl. We need to have a deeper love for God than just infatuation. An average Christian that I know in my life, they're infatuated by God. They do not know Him. They know His works. Now this morning, why would I even talk about, do you know Him? Because I believe if you know God, it will give you rest. Exodus chapter 33, verse 14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. If only you know God casually, only seeing the works of God, you will never have rest. You'll be constantly pushing the panic button. You know, the most nervous people today are Christians. Christians who only know the works of God, not the ways of God. We have some relatives in the Bible, they're called the children of Israel. They live continually in murmuring mode, constantly worried. They saw God divided the Red Sea. They saw God perform miracles in the Old Testament. They saw God provided manna from heaven. They saw God brought water from the rock. What was God's response to the people of Israel? Hebrews chapter 3, if you turn in your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Therefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Is it important to know the ways of God? Yes. Look at verse 11. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Works give you emotional high. In other words, most Christians live on spiritual heebie-jeebie all their life. Oh, they are just emotionally serving God. They just see the works of God. You know, this morning I want to tell you, 5 years ago I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And I'll never forget, I was preaching in Greensboro. And after I preached, and this gentleman, I'm not going to name him, because most of you may know him, he's from your town, and he just felt that he should lay hands on me and pray. My PSA was 9. And they said, well, we would have to do one more test. Anyway, he prayed, and he shook me so hard. And after that, he says, you're cured. Wow. I went and got test. PSA became 29. What happened? That's not God. God is not that kind. He's not supposed to do that. Well, let me tell you, buddy, God is God, who he is. He doesn't need Sam's approval. When I first came to your country, I saw a bumper sticker on the back of a car in Bronx, New York. What an interesting place to watch what's written on a bumper sticker. It says, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. That's hogwash. God said it. That settles it, whether you and I believe it or not. What if God didn't heal me today from my prostate cancer after the surgery? After 5 years now, I'm cancer free. What if He didn't do it? I want believers to hear me. He is still God. That will only come with the knowledge of knowing His ways, not just the works. You know, He's a great God if He can give us from a Ford Escort to Mercedes 500. He's great God. But how about from Mercedes 500 to a dump truck? He can't be God. Let me say something to you. You may not like to hear this. Majority of the time, there's not much of a difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. The only difference is they have the same measurement of success. A house with 3,500 square feet, two-car garage. I mean, they want everything same. The only thing is they just use the word, praise the Lord. There's not much of a difference. Is that what it means to be a follower of Christ, that we measure success the way the world does? No. We need to come to a place in our Christian walk where we come to God and say, like Moses did, Lord, I want You to show me Your ways. Because the people of Israel have seen the works. How about Peter and John the Baptist? Peter was put in prison. John the Baptist was put in prison. Both were apostles. Both were speakers of the gospel. But one was beheaded. The other one was released. This morning I'd like to ask you a question. Did God love Peter more than He loved John the Baptist? How about Peter when he preached, 3,000 were saved. And when Stephen preached, 3,000 stones were given to him. Did God love Peter more than He loved Stephen? All you know in your life is the works of God. You will be hopelessly confused. You will never have the rest in your life that the Bible talks about if you only know the ways of God, works of God. This morning I like to say this to you. If you know God, it will give you rest. It also gives you stability. On the other side of Red Sea, Exodus chapter 15, the first song mentioned in the book, in the Bible, was the song of Moses in the land. The people of God were dancing and celebrating. 3 days later, they're murmuring, wanting to go back. You know, whenever I read that story, it reminds me of a wife wanting to go back after 3 days of honeymoon to see her mama. How does the husband feel after 3 days? She says, I can't wait to go home and see mother. That is how many Christians are in their walk with God. When all is going well, please enroll us in the church. But when the trouble hits, they leave. Why? Because all they have known is the works of God. They do not know the ways of God. Whenever there's a problem in a church, guess what? They are looking for a new pastor. Instead of asking God, what would You want us to learn? We will have less church split. We will have less church problem if the believers in the churches have a desire to know the ways of God, not only the works of God. John chapter 2, verse 23, after Jesus turned the water into wine, the Bible says, many came and believed Him. But don't stop at verse 23. Go home and read verse 24. But Jesus did not believe them. That's a sad thing. We have many Christians who believe God for miracles, but God does not believe you. That's an awful day to come to a place where you understand God is not pleased with you. Jesus knew that these believers who were following Him in John chapter 2, all they wanted is a miracle. Look at the disciples of Christ. Jesus said, talked about crucifixion, and He asked them after that, do you want to stay with Me or do you want to go? Friends, if I did not know the ways of God, this would be the right time for me to leave India and come to this country and work at Chick-fil-A. Don't you think I can get a job at Chick-fil-A? Yeah. How about Walmart? I can do that. How about become a janitor of your church? It's very easy. But I'm not doing it. Because it is not that God runs the nation of India according to my schedule. I need to understand His ways. His ways may be that more pastors will be killed in India. His ways may be more Christians would be persecuted than we'll know who is real and who's not. As I close this morning, thank you for asking me, why did even Moses come to a place in his life where he said, that I may know your ways? You don't find that before Exodus chapter 33, verse 14 and 15, that he comes to a place, I want to know God, I want to know your ways. Looking at the time, I would just like for you to please write down this reference. The reason verse 14 is mentioned, because there's 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 verses there to begin with in chapter 33. Let me just give you a summary of what happened. Moses is on Mount Sinai. When he comes down, he sees the people of Israel whom God has performed the miracle for, who's turned, brought manna from heaven, who brought water from the rock, who divided the Red Sea. Now, these people who see the miracle of God, when he comes down from Mount Sinai, he's seeing a golden calf. May I say something to you? It's interesting, when we think of idols, we think of India. We all have idols. We call idol Krishna in India. Their same God converted in a new name called idol Cadillac. How about this? Lord Buddha, we have one too. It's five houses by the beach. Anything that takes place more than God in our life is an idol. Moses comes and sees a golden calf. And he says, uh-oh, this is not good. This is bad. You know what? Today, an average Christian, you cannot even tell the difference if he's a Muslim or if he's a Hindu or is he a Christian, because he just loves everybody. We love all at Hope Givers, but we worship one. I love the Hindus. I love the Muslims. I love anybody who does not know Christ, but our desire is that they may come to know Him. That's what we pray for. Moses said, God, I know that you can consume them. I know you can just kill them. But I beg you on behalf of these people, don't kill them. God says, good. And by the way, I'm going to ask you a question. What is opposite of God? Most of you think it's devil. No. There is no opposite of God. Opposite of devil is God's angel. God alone stands alone. There is no competition with God. God is God. He doesn't have a competitor. He doesn't have an opposite. But here we are, people who have seen the miracles of God. God has done so much for you, believers. He's given you a job. He's given you a house. But sometimes we just do not get the iPhone 10. God is just awful. He hasn't given me the latest iPad. He's not God. I'm here to tell you, God is not interested in keep feeding you with all the desires of your heart. He wants to see you in a place where you say, God, I need to know your ways. Not just the works. And this is what God said to Moses. Go home and please read verse 2, 3, 4, and 5. Moses, I'm so glad. By the way, do you know only an intimate person has the quality or qualification to become an intercessor? You cannot become an intercessor without being intimate with God. Because he was intimate with God, he said, God, I don't want you to burn them. This is what he said. Moses, glad. You want me to not consume those people? Good. I'm going to give you an angel escort. Wait a minute. Let me tell you the best day of my life of escort, when they took me to watch Indy 500. I was in the, what is that, suite number one? Man, 911 police, I used to be afraid of them, but that day I wasn't afraid of them. They were escorting me to Indy 500. That's an awesome feeling. I felt like Donald Trump. How about this? Moses, I'm going to give you cannon. I'm going to give you an angel escort. All the Ammonites will be killed. They will not come against you. They will be, I will take you to the land flowing with milk and honey. But my presence will not go with you. Many Christians would be okay with that. As long as he takes us into the land where there's land full of honey and milk and God's protection, his provision, but we don't need his presence. You know what Moses learned that day? He said to God, I don't want cannon without you. I don't want the blessing without the blesser. I don't want the victory without the victor. And I don't want the Lord land without the Lord. That will only come when you have a desire to know the ways of God. As I close today, if you do not know the ways of God, change in politics will bring fear in your life. But if you know the ways of God, you will know that all things work together for good to them that love God. One of our pastors was sent to a city of Alwar. The reason he chose that place, because we talked about anybody who went to that place was killed, never came back alive. How many of you would still pray about that place? No Christians ever came back alive. No Christian witness. I think that's a very simple reason to come to a conclusion. That's not God's will. I have a friend. Isn't that hard to believe? Wake up. You're almost done. Act like you're listening. I have a friend in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I was doing a series of meetings for his church, and Wednesday night he comes to me and he said, he comes at 5 o'clock, the meeting was at 6. He said, hey, Brother Thomas, would you like to go to Dunkin' Donuts? I said, no. You know, I'm on a 40-day diet. I've lost 38 days. She said, hey, would you like to go to the Dunkin' Donuts? No, 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 I'm fine. But of course, he's driving the Suburban, and he's asking me, hey, would it be okay if I go? Don't you love when the drivers ask you if it'd be okay? If I was the driver, then he should ask me, then I have a choice to say yes or no. Now he's driving. Feel free. You know, Brother Mark, I never met a more spiritual and godly man than that guy in my life. This is what he prayed while we were going to Dunkin' Donuts. He says, Lord, if it's your will, help us to find the front parking spot, so that I can go in, get me a donut and coffee, so Preacher Thomas doesn't have to wait too long. And I'm telling you, I would never have been impressed. That was an amazing prayer. Wow. We made only 6 round trips around that Dunkin' Donut, and we finally got the spot. That's how many of us do the will of God. If it does not suit us, it's not God's will. But may God change our mind to become more interested in his ways. He has a way for you and me. He has a purpose for you and me. And that can only come with the desire, Lord, I want to know your ways. So we sent our pastor to Oliver. We do not know what happened, but many days later we found out that somebody had stabbed him to death. He died. We do not know to this day that was he ever able to give one Gideon's New Testament, one gospel tract, we do not know. But you know what? Today in that city of Alwar, south of Delhi, we have two churches. One church has 150 believers. The other one has 70 believers. We have a Christian school with 1,600 students. Then we have a home that's taking care of 40 boys who are trained to be arrows for Christ. That's not the end of the story. The end of the story is they asked me to go and dedicate the building. Now, this was very interesting. Most of the time, the donors give the money to build a church in honor of the person who was a martyr. That means wherever he died, they would like to give their money and build a church in their honor. But this donor was from Nashville, Tennessee. He said, I would like for you to please find out the village where he came from and build a church there. We did. The donor says, well, I feel like, Sam, you need to go and dedicate this building. I said, all right. You know, when you give the money and you ask to go, it's not hard to obey. I went. Finally, I got to this village in the state of Tamil Nadu. When we were entering into the village, they were making me walk towards the church building. As I was getting closer to the church building, there was this older lady, she must be in her late 90s, shaking, leaning against this wall. And I said to the pastor, does she need any special attention? Does she want me to provide anything for her? He says, no, no, no. This is the mother of the pastor who became a martyr in the city of Alwar. When she found out that you're building the church in honor of her son, she want to attend. And of course, I didn't dedicate that day. I asked the lady. I made her stand in front of me, helped her with the scissors, and we cut the ribbon. We cut the ribbon, and as we opened the door, the pastor says, please look back. And I saw at least 2,000 people, men, women, children. He says, aren't you surprised to see such a great crowd? So my response was, do you have any food after the service today? Oh, he said, yeah, we have delicious meal. I said, well, they show up all the time. It's interesting how you can reach to a people's heart through their stomach. He said, no, 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 no. They have not come to eat, Mr. Thomas. Now, let me say this. This is the village called Rajapalam. That is the only village in India today where 90% of the families living in that village is born again Christians. You know why that happened? Because there was one man who was willing to know the ways of God, gave his life for Christ in the city of Alwar. God honored his faith, blessed that city, and blessed his entire village. I don't want you to just live an ordinary life. I want you to live a life that leaves a legacy for the sake of Christ. Know him and make him known. Not just the works of God, but know the ways of God. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Before Pastor Mark comes, I'd like to ask you just one question. Do you know him? Or do you know about him? If you just know about him, that's not enough. You will never understand the joy of Christian life without knowing the ways of God. I want you to leave this place saying with Paul, that I may know him better than yesterday, not just his works. Thank God for the miracles he has performed in your life. Thank God for the children he has given in your life. Thank God for the beautiful church he has given you. But that's not enough. You need to know the ways of God. Why does God do certain things in our life when it does not make sense? God has a way of speaking to us. Will you be obedient to him and say, Lord, whatever is your way, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. You are the potter. I am the clay. Have thine own way. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you have prayed sincerely from your heart, Lord, I want to get to know you better. I want to know your ways and understand you deeper. Fall in love with you deeper than yesterday. If that's your desire, would you lift up your right hand and say, yes, Brother Thomas. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I want to know the ways of God, not just the works of God. Ways of God. Anybody else? Amen. Father, I pray that you would seal this message to our heart with thy Holy Spirit. Thank you for the leadership of this church, the believers of this church. We pray for India today. Have thine own way. In Christ's name, amen.